Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It's estimated that 2.5 billion people sing Silent Night every year. How did one song become so universally popular? Well, a new film explores that very question, and it's both beautiful and heartwarming. I caught up with Hannes Schala, the director of the film Silent Night, A Song for the World. First, I asked Hannes, who wrote the song Silent Night and when?
Oh, it is a long time ago. Actually, it was written, the poem to Silent Night was written in 1816 by a young priest called Joseph Mohr in the Austrian Alps. And he was a very poor man. He had a lonely mother, seven other siblings, and he had his first job as a priest in a very small church, middle in the Salzburg Alps in Austria. And he was a little bit sad because his God not always gave him the right answers, yeah, to motivate the community when he had his prayers on Sunday. And so one winter's night, he was sitting in his very poor cold room and thinking, how could he write a motivating text for the people, for the next parish? And so he was not very pleased with his thoughts, because 1816, it was like a very, very hard winter. This was a summer without any sun, because there was a volcano breakout in the southern hemisphere and whole Europe was under a dark cloud. So there was nothing well in this year. And then he stepped out.
Like this year.
A little bit like this year, yeah. We are in good shape against 1816, to be honest. Yeah. However, he stepped out of his little hut, and it had minus 20 degrees. This is all from his diary, what he wrote down. Yeah, and he was looking up to the mountains, to the clear sky. He saw the stars, and it was like he wrote. The wind was whispering a melody to him. So he went back and wrote "Silent Night, Holy Night," because this is what was his impression, his inspiration. And then 2 years later, when he was back in Salzburg as a priest, it was actually a couple of hours before Christmas Mass on the Christmas Eve. He said, oh, I have this poem. I want to put some music underneath it. And then he remembered, I have this good friend, a music teacher, Franz Gruber. And he took a 2 hours walk through the deep snow on this early winter evening, and they put underneath this guitar tune, not knowing that this will become this most famous Christmas carol now 200 years later. So this is a very exciting, inspiring story. Yeah.
So how long did it take for the song to become popular?
Well, a long time, actually. It took almost 100 years that it got to the US with the Reiner Singers. That was four siblings traveling throughout Europe. They came to the US and sang it the first time into English. And then the English version, the text and the melody was sent out through America through missionaries. And then at one certain day, 1 month before Christmas in 1934, a missionary went to Bing Crosby and said, you are such a famous singer, you are such a fantastic performer. We have a mass coming up, a Christmas radio show coming up, and we really need some motivation, because it was 1934, not really the best year also in history again. 79 years later, actually. And he said, oh, I'm only a crooner. I cannot sing a religious song. This is impossible for me. And the funny thing was, he did it finally and said, yes, you can maybe also make a record out of it. And he sang it in the radio show. And this record had only 47 pieces. Only 47 prints were made of this record. And this was the first time when it was becoming famous. And 1 year later, it was again on CBS radio at the time. And after that, the rest is history. He sold 30 million copies of the song. And that's how it became a very popular song all over the planet.
Oh, to have one of those copies of the first 47.
Yes, there is actually in Los Angeles a monastery. They own seven of these first copies.
Oh, really? So it's become one of the most familiar tunes in the world. Have you been able to establish how far the song has traveled?
Yes, I mean, I spoke to our Austrian Ministry of Culture and Science, and they told me that it was translated into 300, not languages, but 300 languages and dialects. So it is basically all over the world. It's in Africa, in Asia, it's in literally every dialect you could imagine. And it is also proven that around 2.5 billion people at Christmas time sing the song under the Christmas tree. And I think that's amazing when we think we are 7 billion people on the planet and how this has evolved over the last 200 years.
That is incredible. You've talked to many singers and musicians about the song, and have they given any kind of insight as to why they think Silent Night is so special?
Yeah, I mean, with all the musicians and singers, I have not only worked for the film, I talked to many others, and I know that only the recording majors recorded 6,534 single recordings. They all said the same to me. It's like they don't know how long they know the song, how when they heard it the first time, it's like you grow up with it, yeah? And you experience with the song with your family, and you also experience it when you go to church for the midnight mass. So they all told me, look, I was maybe 3 or 4 or 5. I cannot remember. It's in my body. It's in my DNA.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well, that everyone enjoys it. Adults, children, different cultures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Foster said so. He pointed it out very well when he said it's a very simple melody, but it's a heart-touching melody. And everybody is so fond of it. Once you hear it, you're completely into it emotionally.
Yeah. For Christians, from the perspective of Christian belief, it's actually talking about the moment which is maybe the most momentous moment in human history, in the history of the universe, you know, that the moment when the maker of the universe became part of his universe. Do you think that the song captures that?
Yes, I think the song captures this as well. I mean, when we were in Jerusalem for filming there, the song, I think for me and also for the whole crew, got even more meaning than before when we were in Los Angeles, where Bing Crosby recorded it the first time in the radio studio, because we thought, oh my God, this is the place. This is the location. Yeah, this is the church. This is the place where Jesus was born. And so I think the whole lyric became or got more meaning to every one of us. So filming there, to get the allowance to film there in this church, was so exciting.
So you went to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, did you?
Yeah, both. Yeah. And we got the allowance to film there inside very early in the morning before the first prayers were made at 7 a.m. So we were there at 6 a.m. to film there. It was an amazing experience. And I wanted to put this visuals underneath the music. And I recorded a version with an Arabic singer, because we learned also it's existing in Arabic, and she sang it in English and Arabic in a very special instrumentation. It's also in the film. And yeah, she said it very well. This is the place where all the power of us people on the planet gets together in one big thing. So I think that was a very unique experience.
I think in a way it's sort of a brave thing and a very, a visionary thing to make a film about Silent Night. How did you make, you know, a story about a song into a story?
Yes, I mean, this was, I was asked at the beginning, not only by the TV station, but also by the musicians or the producers, how can you make a 90-minute film about one song, which is actually over in 4 minutes, and then maybe you tell a little story. But honestly, since the song now exists for 202 years, to be exact, yeah, since its creation in 1818, there have been told so many stories. First of all, the creation, then how it travels to Europe, then when it traveled from London to New York, then in America through all the monasteries, then how it came to Bing Crosby, then after Bing Crosby, how many musicians and orchestras performed the song. So to tell this, how it stood the test of time till now, takes not 5 minutes. It takes not 15 minutes. It takes a lot, long time. I could have made it 3 hours, actually.
So you needed all the time and probably went, this is not enough.
it is not enough. And honestly, I also got an email from a Brazil television station asking me, why don't you have a Latin artist in it? And then I got a request, why don't you have an Italian artist in it? So there have been requests. And honestly, we are now recording this week an Italian version. And very soon, as I call it LATAM, South American version, because Globo TV also wants the film. So
there are beautiful visuals in the trailer. What are you trying to capture in these visuals, in this imagery?
I think it's important. First of all, I tracked the whole travel of the story, how it started in Salzburg and where it ended up everywhere in the world. And we have to understand, because you might have seen also visuals from the American desert, which looks very strange, that you are outside of Los Angeles. We filmed there at 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was very, very hot at the day, but Bing Crosby lived there at the time. So to go from the Austrian snow via 179 years to come to end up in the Californian desert, to think about singing the song for the next Christmas show. Then we went to Banff, to the Rocky Mountains, to film there with the Canadian tenors. Then we went to New York, then to Jerusalem, then to Vienna with the Vienna Boys Choir. So the whole travel of the song is also as meaningful as the visuals in the film, which is telling the whole travel of the story itself. And I think I wanted to share that with the audience, so that everybody understands. It doesn't matter if there is snow or sand, if it's hot or cold, it doesn't matter which religion you are. This song is really connecting, uniting everyone.
Hannes, these are strange times for the movie industry. How are you releasing the film?
Yes, strange times for the movie industry indeed, honestly, but for the films I'm doing, it's not the worst time, because we have small crews, we are making documentaries, we are telling the stories people want to see. And as we have seen that the streaming services all over the planet and also DVD releases are working better than ever, all these portals like Netflix, Amazon, etc., I cannot name them all, are requesting a lot of information and film. And especially in these, let's call it challenging times with these pandemics, they need very good messages. And that's why the film is requested quite highly, because it has a good message and gives a good mood.
So there's going to be all sorts of different ways of accessing this film. When is the official release?
There are several different releases, but in England, it will be released beginning December. In Ireland, and also what I heard yesterday, that RTE bought it for television. So it will be also on free TV.
Well, we've talked a fair bit about the perspectives of singers, but I'll leave the last word with you, Hannes, as the director of this film. Why do you think this is a song for the world?
I think it's, first of all the languages. It has been translated in so many languages. So every child, school child, teenager grew up with the song in their own language. They didn't even consider that it was originally written in German. And nowadays, I think because this was a song of hope composed in a very devastating time, it has this melody, it has these words. And I think now in 2020, we have the same situation. It's a horrible year. It's a challenging year. And when people hear this melody again, which has a very, very, let's call it, it's almost like a lullaby. It's a very motivating, nice tune and these beautiful lyrics. People will absolutely immediately understand again what the meaning for peace and hope is in the song. That's why I think it conquered the world in the best positive way.
Hannah Schaller, director of the new feature film Silent Night, thank you so much for talking to us at Spirit Radio today.
Thank you very much for your time, for your interest, and also in the joy believing in this song. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.